The first Friday of March arrives with the promise of spring and a springing forth of activity in the performing and visual arts. Just as several communities observe First Friday Art Walks, we take this First Friday time to talk about arts events in the coming weeks and invite you to join in with more events and more details. The phone numbers to join our First Friday Art segment, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Charlotte Duren joins me on the microphone to help run through the list of events. We'll start off with the First Friday Art Walk in Ashland, happening this evening, March 7th, starting at 5 and running till about 8 o'clock. Hannon Library at the Southern Oregon University celebrates its one-year anniversary of hosting First Friday Art Walks with an exhibit called The Craft Behind the Art at OSF. From Oregon Shakespeare Festival's 2014 season productions, renderings from several shows, costumes, set images and drawings, all kinds of looks behind the curtain, in a sense, at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival in The Craft Behind the Art at OSF, part of the First Friday Art Walk at the Hannon Library at Southern Oregon University.
And we have a scrumptious treat for the whole family. SOU Theater presents Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. That's going through March 9th. It's Saturday, 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. Go to that. And How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. That's March 8th and 9th, Saturday and Sunday, 2 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. And Sunday, 2 to 4:30 as well. Attend that. It's a musical parody of the 1960s. Corporate America traces the journey of an ambitious window washer who rockets to the top through a combination of brown nosing, dumb luck, and advice from a guidebook named...
It really is a guide to how to succeed in business without really trying. I love the fact that they're doing Charlie and the Chocolate Factory at Southern Oregon University, though, because it's not only First Friday today, but the Oregon Chocolate Festival kicks off as well. And so the way that some of the First Friday events and some of the theater events are being tied into the Chocolate Festival, a lot of fun as well. We've had one of three performances already of The Turn of the Screw from Brava Opera in the Rogue Valley. Two performances yet to come, and General Director Lori Hall from Brava Opera is in the studio to talk about what's coming up. Hi, Lori. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us first about Brava Opera generally, about the company itself.
Well, we have a threefold program. We developed the approach to developing young singers by having first an opera workshop that's for local young opera singers. Second, we have a national vocal competition, brings singers from all over the country. That's held in San Francisco, and the winner's concert actually is next month here at SOU. April 13th. And then we have a professional part, and that's the chamber opera, and we're currently doing The Turn of the Screw.
How does a chamber opera differ from other operas?
Well, a regular opera would have a large orchestra, at least 27 to 30, at least, in the pit. And a chamber is a very small ensemble, usually less than 14 to 12 instruments.
All right, so smaller instrumentation, but a big sound just the same.
It is
opera after all.
And it's also a smaller cast.
So it's The Turn of the Screw that you're doing, and where are these performances?
We are at Camelot Theater.
Hang on a second. We lost your microphone. Try again.
We're at Camelot Theater.
Okay. We've been having problems with these microphones this week. Hang on just a second, and we'll
get another put into position.
There we go. We are at Camelot Theater. Excuse me. They allow us to rent the theater for a week, and we use some of their production staff, and that's where we are. So tonight at 8 o'clock, Sunday at 3 o'clock.
All right, tonight at 8 o'clock, Sunday at 3 o'clock. And The Turn of the Screw is based on that
Henry James novel.
Henry James, sorry. Yeah.
And it's written by Benjamin Britten in 1954. And it's this production is part of the Britten 100 International Celebration. It's the 100th anniversary of Britten's birth. He's considered one of the foremost composers of our time.
So there's a mixture of local talent
and some
people from outside the
region
in The Turn of the Screw?
We have our leading lady, the governess, Lindsay Osi's from New York City. Crystal Weigel, soprano, Brian Thorsett, tenor, are from San Francisco. And we have two locals. Our young boy soprano, 11 years old, is Will Ransom, wonderful. And our young girl, Flora, is Amanda Gehrig, soprano, and she's from Medford. And she looks like a little girl, and she has two little children.
It's a ghost story, in essence. And I know that the
Absolutely.
Book itself, though, there's been lots of argument about it. The first version I ever saw was so annotated with people arguing about whether it really was about ghosts or
about
people seeing things.
And you can actually, it is somewhat of an ambiguous story, but Britain has the ghost actually singing, and they have a lot to say, although they never touch the characters. But they are singing throughout. It's really wonderful. And I left out Mrs. Gross, the housekeeper, Beth Matson Bradford from Portland.
And so is in English, I'm assuming?
It is absolutely in English. In fact, it's considered one of the top three operas ever written for the English language.
All right. So it is The Turn of the Screw, presented by Brava Opera at the Camelot Theater in Tallinn. And again?
It's tonight at 8 o'clock, Sunday at 3 o'clock. There are only a few tickets left for Sunday, and tonight is getting close. We have about 35 left.
All right. Lori Hall, the General Director at Brava Opera, thanks so much for joining us
Thank
on
you.
First Friday to talk about The Turn of the Screw.
Thank you for having us.
Okay. Charlotte, what else do we have on the list of things?
Grants Pass Shrine Circus 2014 is coming. It's three rings of affordable family fun and only three-ring circus act in town. The Grants Pass Shrine Circus will thrill fans of all ages. Come to see the death-defying aerial acts, animal attractions, including tigers and elephants. That is March 13th, 4:30 and 7:30 p.m., and Friday at 4:30 and 7:30 p.m. as well.
It is the First Friday Arts segment on the Jefferson Exchange. Jeffrey Riley and Charlotte Duren with you, reminding you that we are going through the list of events in the performing and visual arts submitted to our website at ijpr.org to the community calendar. You can join us. Tell us about arts events in your region. 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. We just talked about things that are being performed at Camelot Theater. Here is Livia from the Camelot Theater. Hi, Livia.
Good morning, Jeffrey. Yes, we have Brava Opera there this week, and then March 19th, we are opening probably the most outrageous musical ever written. It is Mr. Mel Brooks's The Producers, and we are in going into tech as soon as Brava Opera closes, so we're real excited about it.
Some of the elements that were in the original non-musical movie, are they still within this? I mean, is Springtime for Hitler, I guess, there is the biggest question.
Springtime for Hitler is there. You know, and that's probably the most outrageous song in the show. But for people who don't know and never saw, oh my goodness, the Gene Wilder, Zero Mostel movie, and then the Nathan Lane, Matthew Broderick movie, it's about this producer whose accountant says, you know, you could make more money with a flop than with a hit. And so they go out of their way to find the worst script in the world, which is Springtime for Hitler, a romp in Birkus Garden with Ava Brown and Adolf Hitler. And then they find the worst director, the worst cast, and it is so outrageous, of course, that it is a huge success, and they end up going to jail where they write more musicals.
It is a great story.
It's a wonderful story, and it's so much fun, and it's definitely one of the best musicals, I think, that this country has produced. It won an unprecedented 12 Tony Awards and constantly played to sold-out houses. We're very lucky we have Mr. David King Gabriel as Max Bialystock, and Peter Wycliffe as Leo Bloom, and then we have a young man who's new to us, Nathan Monks, as Franz Liebkind, the German writer of Springtime for Hitler. And then our own 6'6", Mr. Don Matthews, plays the gay director Roger Debris. And then Kelly Hammond plays Ula. And I'll tell you, we're having a blast. We're having a really, really good time because it's just a wonderful, fun musical.
Don Matthews, of course, the classical host based in Ashland at Jefferson Public Radio. And he's been coming in telling us about these rehearsals, trying to move his 6'6" body around in high heels.
High heels, and then he'll have a big red wig, and then the top of the Chrysler Building. So I think he'll be pretty tall on that stage. You know, and all of these people are wonderful to work with, and we've got a great musical team behind it. We've got a band of five people led by Megan Iverson on keyboard. And we're just, you know, it runs March 19th through April 20th. The March 19th performance is a fundraiser for Siskiyou Singers. as are all the first performances of our main stage shows, fundraisers for other nonprofits, going with your nonprofit theme. And you can get tickets for that night only through Siskiyou Singers. And then the Thursday performance on the 20th is a $12 preview. We open the 21st. And the Pay What You Can performance is March 26th, and we're expecting that to be sold out.
All right. Sounds like good times. The producers opening March 19th at Camelot Theater and Talent.
Yes. Thank you so much, Jeffrey.
Good to have you, Olivia. As always, you can join us as well in our First Friday Arts segment. Let's hear about arts events going on in your town in the performing and visual arts. Our phone number is here again, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let's see what else we have here. Southern Oregon University Theater Arts presents Arms and the Man, opening tomorrow, March 8th, at the theater on Southern Oregon University's campus. This is actually the music recital hall by George Bernard Shaw, one of the great playwrights of the 20th century, Arms and the Man, presented by SOU Theater Arts. Also on Saturday, the Ragland Classical Series presents Chamber Orchestra Kremlin. That's at the Ross Ragland Theater in Klamath Falls, Saturday at 7:30.
And we also have the 15th Annual Youth Jazz Day. River City Jazz Society and Straight Ahead Big Band Institute present local school jazz bands in concert, free all day at the Mount Shasta Mall Food Court. Money raised from donations and raffles will all go to participating schools. That is March 22nd, 10:30 to 4 p.m. Also, Siskiyou Arts Museums presents 50s and 60s Rock and Roll Dance Party. That is March 22nd, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m.
And we have some material as well on an upcoming performance of Cabaret at Ashland High School.
Ashland High School Theater production of the musical Cabaret is now playing through March 16th. Volunteer arts reporter Bob Davey talked with the show director Jeremy Johnson, who is an actor with the Oregon Shakespeare Festival.
Jeremy, tell us about the plot and setting of Cabaret.
So Cabaret is set in Berlin in 1930, and we are in the waning years of the Weimar Republic, just before the Nazi Party and Hitler came to power. And we have a young man, Clifford Bradshaw, an American, who comes to the city to try and find something to write about. He wants to be a writer. And the play deals with all of the people that he meets and how their lives are affected by the political events going on around them.
Now, we have a short piece here. Tell us about that.
Yes, so Cliff meets a man on the train who convinces him to go to the cabaret of the title, which is called the Kit Kat Club, and there he sees a performer named Sally Bowles, who does a number with some backup singers, and this is their first telephone conversation in the club. All the tables have telephones on them, and people call each other.
Sally, what's this all about?
Would you guess that I was terrified?
Were you?
What if you'd thrown me out? Can you imagine how that would feel, being thrown out twice in one day?
You mean Max?
Dear Max, and you know whose fault it was, don't you? If you hadn't come into the club and been so dreadfully attractive and recited poetry...
Sally, about you staying
You know
here,
what I'd love? A spot of gin.
Gin?
You've got some, I mean, I think one must.
No, I haven't got any gin.
Oh, well, prairie oysters then.
Prairie oysters?
I practically live on them. It's just a raw egg whooshed around in some Worcestershire sauce. It's heaven for a hangover.
I haven't got a hangover.
Since this is a period piece, some many years back, do the young people today have any trouble adjusting to it?
I don't think so. I mean, you'd have to ask the students what they get out of being in the theater program at Ashland High School, but I think they all have taken to it wonderfully and are having a ball. I mean, a large part of the fun, especially as I remember when you're very young and you're doing school plays or wherever you're doing theater, is engaging your imagination, you know. So even though, of course, they weren't around during the events of this play, they kind of instinctually just join that world and create their characters from the script and from, you know, the bit of research that we've done and with the guidance of myself and the designers, and it's really been a ball.
Jeremy, why did Ashland High School choose this play for production?
Well, I proposed this show because it's a classic, it's wildly entertaining, it's had many incarnations since 1966 when it opened on Broadway, and became an Oscar-winning film in 1972, and then had a very, very successful revival in 1996, which is coming back to Broadway this year. So it's a wonderful piece. Some people think it's a little grown up, if you will, but I think that it's a great choice for high school students because it asks really important questions about how do you respond to political, economic, social forces that are threatening. Do you engage them? Do you run away from them? Do you just try to survive? And I think that's a great question for anybody to try and answer, particularly people on the verge of adulthood. And it's also just really, really fun. It's a wonderful show.
Life is a cabaret, old chum, so come to the
Cabaret, although not with Liza Minnelli, at Ashland High School coming up then. Thanks to Bob Davey for producing that piece for us. This is our first Friday art segment on the Jefferson Exchange. Just a couple moments left to let you know about some other events going on. The Fine Arts Faculty Showcase is taking over the gallery at Umpqua Community College. So this is faculty work on display at the Whipple Fine Arts Building at Umpqua Community College in Roseburg through next weekend, March 13th. On March 14th, Criterion Performances presents Vocal Dente. The humor, vocal purity, and repertoire of this male quintet have made them a cappella champions across three continents. Vocal Dente at the Criterion Ginger Rogers Theater.
And coming up, Eureka Symphony presents their Spring Chamber Concert. The Eureka Symphony presents a Spring Chamber Concert Sunday, March 23rd at 3 p.m. at the Eureka Women's Club.
So all kinds of events coming up, and we're glad that you have had a chance to hear what's going on in the art scene on this first Friday in the art world. This is our first Friday art segment. We'll do another one the first Friday of April.